Since last week's The Space Show, a number of satellites were launched by the company called SpaceX. It was called the STP-2 mission for the Air Force, and aboard were some satellites where Australia was involved. So listen out for a mention of the Bureau of Meteorology. And I will tell you more about that afterwards. Now, I've condensed 6 hours of commentary down to a quarter hour.
Welcome. My name is Alex Siegel, and I'm a material planner here at SpaceX. I'm excited to be here with you today, along with my co-hosts, bringing you coverage of the third launch of Falcon Heavy, this one for the U.S. Air Force.
And I'm Jesse Anderson. I'm a lead manufacturing engineer here at SpaceX. Tonight's mission is a rideshare mission and marks the first Department of Defense launch on Falcon Heavy, the world's most powerful operational rocket by a factor of two. It will be among the most challenging launches in SpaceX history. We will be delivering 24 satellites to space with 20 distinct separation events for 13 partners. There will be 4 separate upper stage MVAC-D engine burns, 3 separate deployment orbits, a final propulsive passivation maneuver, and a total mission duration of over 6 hours. But that's not all. As with our previous Falcon Heavy missions, our 3 boosters will undergo 3 separation events and 3 landing attempts. There will be a lot of activity happening all at once over the course of the next 4 hours as we deploy all 24 payloads. Let's take a closer look at the rocket. Falcon Heavy is essentially 3 Falcon 9 rockets strapped together, which means it can carry a much larger payload not only to Earth orbit, but to the Moon and Mars. Like Falcon 9, Falcon Heavy is a 2-stage launch vehicle. The big difference is that the Falcon Heavy's first stage is comprised of 3 cores, and the Falcon 9 only has 1. Each one of these cores has 9 Merlin 1D engines, making for a total of 27 overall. Altogether, the engines produce 5 million pounds of thrust, equal to 18 747s at takeoff. So we are actually just moments away from our first deployment of the evening for Oculus ASR, which was developed by students at Michigan Technological University.
We also should have had, a minute and a half or so ago, the first Peapod number 1 open up and deploy 2 CubeSats for the Naval Research Laboratory. It appears we have confirmation that the Oculus satellite was separated and Peapod number 1 opened up, deploying the Naval Research Laboratory satellites. Now these 8 deployers will open and they'll release 11 satellites. Now the next deployment, coming up just before 25 minutes, is known as FalconSat 7. This is an optical telescope for the United States Air Force Academy. The CubeSat, when it is ejected, will eventually deploy a rigid boom that holds a membrane that acts like a lens in a telescope. And once that membrane is rigid, it will allow imaging of the sun. So this is a deployable optical telescope for the Air Force Academy.
Peapod 2 deploy confirmed.
And there's the call out from the avionics engineer. Always a little bit tense as you're waiting for them to confirm that the signal indicates that the door is open. Inside of each of the deployers is a spring that pushes out the CubeSats. And what we have is confirmation that the Air Force Academy deployable optical telescope should be in orbit on its own now. We're coming up just about a minute away from the third Peapod opening. Inside this deployer is a single CubeSat. It's known as Armadillo from the University of Texas. Now, Armadillo is an acronym, and bear with me. It stands for Atmospheric Related Measurements and Detection of Submillimeter Objects. Quite a mouthful. Primary goal is to use a dust detector to characterize the space debris environment, focusing on submillimeter debris that can't be seen by Earth-based telescopes.
Peapod 3 deploy confirmed.
And confirmation, Peapod number 3 has opened. Armadillo should be on its way into orbit in the vacuum of space. Okay, we're just over 50 seconds away from the deployment of Peapod 4. This time we're going to have 2 CubeSats coming out of the deployer. Again, satellites are called PSAT and BRICSAT. PSAT's an amateur communication satellite, And BRICSAT is a small satellite that has a micro-propulsion system to perform experiments with attitude control. Satellites are out of the United States Naval Academy.
Peapod 4, deploy confirmed.
And we have confirmation over the net from avionics.
HPK.
Peapod number 4 has deployed. All right, Peapod 5 is going to be opening up here in just about 50 seconds. This Peapod is holding CubeSat called Prometheus for Special Ops Command.
Peapod 5, deploy confirmed.
We've heard the confirmation. Peapod 5 is deployed. In fact, the next two Peapods that will open and deploy satellites are in support of the NASA Enhanced Tandem Beacon Experiment, and they're built by the University of Michigan. This mission explores bubbles in the electrically charged layers of Earth's upper atmosphere. Now, these bubbles can disrupt key communication and GPS signals that we rely on here on the ground. They currently appear and evolve unpredictably and are difficult to characterize from the ground. So the two satellites that will be deployed over the next several minutes are going to help try to understand that problem and find ways to work around it.
Peapod 6, deploy confirmed.
We've got confirmation over the net. Peapod 6, deployer has opened. We should have the Tandem Beacon Experiment satellite ejected. Half a minute for the seventh of the eight Peapod openings. This is also a Tandem Beacon Experiment CubeSat. Now, to study those bubbles that I talked about in the Earth's atmosphere, the two CubeSats that we're deploying emit signals in a handful of frequencies to stations on the ground. From there, scientists can measure disruptions in the signals to determine how they're affected by the upper atmosphere bubbles.
Peapod 7, deploy confirmed.
And we've got it a little late sounding, but we have confirmation. Peapod 7 is open to deploy the second of the two Beacon Experiment satellites for the University of Michigan, and all I've got to say for that is go blue. Well, we're T plus 49 minutes, 15 seconds. We're out between Africa and Australia getting ready for the last deployer, which will release two CubeSats that have been working together starting at liftoff. One is the NASA LEO CubeSat, and the second is the StangSat CubeSat from Merritt Island High School. Now, this combined mission will measure and record the temperature and acceleration data from within that deployer, the Peapod, during today's launch. Now, in addition to collecting that telemetry data during the launch, StangSat will stream its data in real time via Wi-Fi to the LEO CubeSat, something that typically we've not seen done before in CubeSats.
Peapod 8, deploy confirmed.
So, StangSat and LEO have successfully separated. And as a reminder, the Merritt Island High School team has been working on this project since 2011, according to their Facebook page. So after waiting a long time for a ride to space, we'll celebrate deployment with Go Mustangs! So we've gotten through the first set of satellite deployments. The Oculus SmallSat and the eight Peapods have all opened up.
Welcome back to the STP-2 mission as we await the next set of deployments. First up is Prox 1 microsat developed by students at Georgia Institute of Technology in Atlanta to demonstrate satellite close proximity operations and rendezvous. Prox 1 is not an acronym, but actually got its name from the word proximity. It is basically running some proximity operations or formation flying experiments with the LightSail CubeSat for the Planetary Society. The light sail will not be released immediately from Prox 1. That will actually happen 7 days after it separates from Falcon Heavy. When this happens, the light sail will unfurl its mylar sail, which is 1/20th of the thickness of a sheet of paper, with an unfurled area of 344 square feet. This will be the largest solar sail ever demonstrated as a primary means of propulsion.
Now, the next deployment, and they keep coming, folks, will be for NPSAT and will occur in about 2 minutes. NPSAT was built by the Naval Postgraduate Research Laboratory and it carries a bunch of experiments. But in layman's terms, it's investigating the concentration of electrons in the ionosphere, one of the outer layers of Earth which influences radio transmissions. It's also doing experiments to improve communications and the survivability of computers in space, and demonstrating a new type of solar cells for power production.
AOS Hawaii.
Prox 1, deploy confirmed.
And we did just hear confirmed over the nets that Prox 1 deploy was confirmed. And then about 10 seconds from now, hopefully we'll hear the same thing and see it as well for NPSAT.
The next deployment will be for the General Atomics Electromagnetic Systems Orbital Testbed, or OTB. OTB is a versatile modular platform based on a flight-proven hosting model to test and qualify
acquisition
technologies.
Acquisition SSC Hawaii.
On STP-2, OTB is hosting several payloads for technology demonstration purposes, including the Deep Space Atomic Clock, designed, built, and operated by NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory on behalf of the Space Technology Mission Directorate to revolutionize how spacecrafts navigate. This Deep Space Atomic Clock could change the way we navigate in space. It will be the first ever ion clock flown in space and represents the beginning of an era of better space clocks based on the Mercury ion. It loses only 1 second in 9 million years. Any atomic clock for navigation has to be very precise. Even a clock that is off by 1 second could mean the difference between landing on Mars and missing it by miles. In ground tests, the Deep Space Atomic Clock stays stable and keeps correct time for weeks, even months. It's up to 50 times more stable than the atomic clocks on GPS satellites. If the mission can prove the stability in space, it will be one of the most precise clocks in the universe. The toaster oven-sized instrument will be tested in Earth orbit for 1 year, with the goal of being ready for future missions to other worlds.
OTB payload deploy confirmed.
And we just got that confirmation for the OTB deployment.
Our next deployment is coming up in about 3 minutes, and this is for the Green Propellant Infusion Mission, or GPIM, which is a NASA mission that develops a green alternative to conventional chemical spacecraft propulsion systems. Once NASA demonstrates the fuel and compatible system in space, green propellant could replace hydrazine as the status quo spaceflight propellant. Not only will green propellant be safer, it will also be faster and much less costly.
GPIM deploy confirmed.
And we have just confirmed, and we actually saw a little bit of confirmation of deployment of GPIM satellite. We're now one step closer to changing the way we travel to and around space.
Next up in about 4 minutes is the deployment of 6 Cosmic 2 satellites. Now, Cosmic 2 is a partnership between the U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the United States Air Force, Caltech's Jet Propulsion Lab in support of NASA, Taiwan's National Space Organization, the United Kingdom's Surrey Satellite Technology Limited, the Brazil Institute of Space Research, and the Australia Bureau of Meteorology. Well, this 6 satellite constellation will provide next-generation global navigational satellite system radio occultation data. Now, radio occultation data is collected by measuring the changes in a radio signal as it's refracted in the atmosphere. That means we sample radio signals that have traveled through the atmosphere to measure temperatures and moisture in the Earth's atmosphere layers. This will be used to better predict weather events like hurricanes and model long-term climate trends around the world. And there goes the first Cosmic satellite.
Cosmic 2, Satellite 5, deploy confirmed.
Right on time. Within a second or so of the timeline that was set up days ago, so everything looking good. There it goes.
Cosmic 2, Satellite 4, deploy confirmed.
Cosmic 2, Satellite 4, the one we intended, is on its way into its own orbit.
Cosmic 2, Satellite 3, deploy confirmed.
And we've heard the call out from avionics confirming what we all just got to see. Cosmic 2-3 successfully deployed. That makes 6 for 6 for the Cosmic satellites. Everything continuing to go well on the deployment sequence.
The Air Force Research Laboratory Space Vehicle Directorate's Demonstration and Science Experiments, or DSX, spacecraft will conduct basic research on the harsh radiation environment of medium Earth orbit, which we referred to as MEO earlier. Basically, it will measure space radiation so we can improve future spacecraft design and operations for radiation-intensive bands of Earth's orbit. This means that DSX has to itself be hardened with protection against the radiation in MEO. DSX is also doing some experiments on solar activity and measuring the impact of the solar cycle on space radiation and particle concentration in Earth's orbit. One cool thing about DSX is that while DSX on launch is no larger than a station wagon, it will deploy booms over 260 feet, 15% longer than the Falcon Heavy that's carrying it. So it's by far the longest spacecraft we've ever launched, almost as long as the International Space Station itself.
DSX payload deploy confirmed.
And that was the last of the 24 satellites to be put out there. So, and I hope you did hear the mention of the Bureau of Meteorology and the cosmic satellites. And I would refer you to an interview I did with John LaMarshall in 2017. It was broadcast on March the 22nd of that year. And you can find out more about the cosmic satellites and the Bureau of Meteorology.